Kia ora and welcome back to RDU 98.5. You're listening to The Burnt Breakfast, and I'm very, very delighted to have in the studio with me this morning someone a bit of a legend, I would say. I have the Nomad with me. Good morning.
Kia ora. It's an honour to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. And the reason you're here is because you're releasing The Nomad Infinite. Great name choice,
Thank you, by the way.
Which is basically a celebration of 25 years of your music career, correct?
Correct, yes.
So, first of all, can you believe it's been 25 years?
No, it's gone so quick. It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's really cool because Christchurch was my birth town of producing music. So,
wow.
I was DJing in Dunedin for about 4 or 5 years prior to that. And then I moved up here, went to the Worcester Bar, entered a DJ competition, ended up winning. And then I got, it all sort of went from there, I guess. Like, yeah.
Wow. It's a real, like, kind of snowball effect.
Yeah, it was. It was the next logical progression for me from being a DJ for so long and then going, well, what's the next step from here? You know, I'm going to mortgage my life and get a $6,000 2-minute sampler and start making the beats. And yeah, it was, so it all happened here in Christchurch with a group called Locust, which was myself and Pearl Runger and Ryan Smith. And that was 95 we started doing it. 96 we had our first release, which was on cassette.
Oh my God, cassette. Shit, yeah. I haven't heard someone say that word in a while.
I know. Yeah.
So what kind of prompted you to do this release?
Well, that's quite interesting. I do a lot of workshops. Nowadays I run a video production company on the west coast of South Island. So I do a little bit of work for TVNZ and just film a lot of events and fly drones and do a lot of infrastructure stuff and lots of corporate work. And I was down in Greymouth running a workshop at the high school down there, Greymouth High. And it was on audio production, and Oakley Grinnell came in on Zoom and was one of the guest speakers, which was really cool. And at this particular workshop, one of the kids said to me, they said, oh, how long has the Nomad been making music? And I sat there with my fingers trying to count the numbers and the years. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's actually 25 years this year. And I sat in front of them and I said, listen, I'm going to go away and I'm going to get the ball rolling. We're going to release a double vinyl album release this year. And you guys have basically planted the seed.
So cool.
And then here I am now with a little bit less hair than I already don't have. And the vinyl's all done and it's looking amazing. And I'm so stoked. And now we get to go to Thailand this afternoon.
Well, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a good way to celebrate, to be honest.
Well, it's been the wife and I had planned this a little while. I think the same night as Cypress Hill, we had a hotel here.
And it's
the 31st of March. And I said, honey, I've got to spend a little bit of money. You can book the flights. You got 20 minutes. So it was really cool. So we're looking forward to that because it's been a full-on year, lots of work. And, you know, this vinyl has been a huge, huge job, just the amount of things that can go wrong and the technical stuff of the audio side, the design side, and then getting it all done and bits and pieces. So
I've said this a few times on the show, but like I never realized like the work and stress there is to pressing vinyl.
Yeah.
It's so difficult.
Full on. It is crazy. I mean, there's a guy called Adam that runs Telegraph Mastering over in he's over in the States, and he did the lacquer, and Chris from Cog Studios in Auckland, he did the remastering, and then it gets sent to the UK where the plates get made through Holiday, and then that comes back to New Zealand, and then in the meantime, all the artwork's getting designed by designer Francis. He's based over in Paris. And he works for Google, and as soon as he saw the post that night that I got home from the high school talking about the vinyl, blah blah blah, he jumped on board and said, bro, I need to help you out. We need to make this happen. So he's done it at a really good price, and he's done just an epic job. Like the artwork is just next level.
That is a very cool looking.
Yeah, I said, just don't make, you know, don't outdo the music, dude. It's going to be a bit embarrassing. But no, he's done such an epic job. We were thinking about a few other sort of digital assets that we could give away with it, but we just didn't have enough time to do it. So potentially maybe one of the gigs or something. So yeah,
it's kind of cool. The vinyl's practically traveled the world before it's even on sale.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of love
that. Yeah, and it's costing an arm and a leg. So We're doing it for the love.
Yeah.
But it's so exciting. I mean, if it wasn't for my production company that I'm running at the moment, there's no way I'd be able to afford to do this. So
yeah, right.
I definitely feel for a lot of independent musicians and artists that try to do things themselves and get trying to raise funds and stuff.
It must it's be just, so difficult.
Yeah, especially these days. I mean, it was quite good back in the day when I did my first album, Movement, in 1998.
Mm.
And it was, you know, the first D&B album to come out of New Zealand. And the support I got from so many local businesses and people were just was massive.
Yeah, wow.
Because they were like, oh, it's so fresh. And everything was all paper, like posters and reviews. You go to a cafe, you get a magazine, you start reading it, and you read reviews and stuff. But it's everything's just so digital and short attention span now.
Well, and yeah, and the quantity of it as well. Like, I know, it's just so much more.
It's nuts, yeah. But it's also exciting, you know, being able to Dropbox somebody some folders to remix or whatever.
So you picked 16 tracks.
Yep.
For this vinyl.
Yep.
Was that difficult in of itself?
No, it was actually quite easy.
Really?
I think because the thing is, I think I chose, because all the songs have been out for so long and all the albums have been out there and I know them so well, I just wanted to get all the killers, like all the tunes
that
did rail on radio or is good on the dance floor or people. It was quite easy. It was a couple of tunes I was kind of like, oh, I gotta drop this one and put that one, or do I do this and that? And then Ants Man from Rhombus, who's been with me from day dot, he has been sort of part of the project, helping out with a few bits and pieces. So he kind of he came back and just said, oh, just drop this one and maybe why don't you put that one in? And I put it in. I was just looked at it and was like, yep, sweet, that's it. But at the end of the day, it's about me, you know. People are always going to have their own opinions. People aren't always going to agree with what you do. It's just life.
Mm-hmm,
and at the end of the day, as long as I put the needle on the record and hear the drum beat go like this, I think that's a song.
Yeah, well, there you go. Perfect. So, I mean, in 25 years, you must have so many memories from producing and performing. Are there any memories that kind of like stick out as a moment that you're like, yeah, I've really achieved something here?
I think when I was living on 141 High Street, just around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing my second album called Second Selection.
Mm.
And Fada P from Rockers Hi-Fi was touring New Zealand from the UK.
Mm.
And they were one of my biggest mentors. Like Rockers Hi-Fi, I was just like, man, you guys are gods, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I spoke to the tour manager and he managed to, I think this was like a few days before my birthday as well. So it was all like special July times, you know? And next thing I know, Fada P was in my studio holding the mic, singing on a track called One for One, which is on the vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just sitting there going, oh my God, this is like, I'm at that place, you know?
Yeah, wow.
And then did the album, and it was a bit more, the first one was drum bass, the second one was a bit more downbeat, sort of dubby styles.
Okay.
And it won an award at the New Zealand Music Awards, at the BNET Awards.
Wow,
won
congratulations.
Best dub hip-hop reggae release.
Brilliant.
I actually tied with my friend King Caps. And
oh,
King
really?
Yeah, so it was quite cool. We, you know, this little white guy, we went up in this big Samoan dude, we both get up in Auckland. And then I put a big gig on at the same time called Homegrown Shit's the Best. And then I did a big photo shoot in Auckland. And then like a month later, I was on the front cover of Powered Up magazine.
Wow.
And then I supported Moby at the North Shore Event Centre to about 5,000 people. So that was the...
Oh, that's incredible.
That was the
that's
year
so cool.
for me. It was just like, whoa, this is nuts. Right. Like, shit's real. And I'm living the dream. And the other thing that I loved about Christchurch was it was the most incredible scene back in the day, as far as flyers, production, like, you know, Plan D, Dan from Plan B and Pylon, all those guys are putting on the most amazing parties
with the most amazing
posters and design and production. It was such a solid underground scene. It was just incredible for me to come from DJing clubs in Dunedin up here to introduced to the rave culture, you know, the gathering, destinations, Alpine Unity, all those parties was just like next level, eh?
I've heard that Christchurch
special times
used to be the place to be.
Oh,
it's hard like to know I missed out, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I just wasn't alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I feel like they might be coming back too.
Oh man, I hope so. I hope so.
Something's gotta happen.
So do you like, are you one for listening back to your old music much?
Not really, no. Well, Yeah, it's funny because you hear it so much, and then you know, you have a big break and you don't listen to it for a while, and then it's interesting because listening to it on vinyl, it's kind of, it was a bit special, you know. It was kind
of like the test presses came in
and you're sort of, you know, listening to it while I'm making some food, and I'm just like, wow, this is sounding cool. And then it's interesting because you do spend a lot of time making the music, and then by the time it comes out, you're so over it, and it's fresh for everybody else. You know?
yeah.
But I mean, for me, it was always a dream to be able to produce a product like this, like a double vinyl with beautiful artwork and all the best tunes on it, just to kind of cement it in the world. You know, 300 units, not many, but
and that's a good segue actually, because I really should ask, where can people purchase this if they want to?
Yeah, so it's going to sell on my Bandcamp.
Oh, yep.
If you know me personally, you send me a message and I'll come and sort you out.
Yeah.
But most of all, Rhythm Method are distributing all the vinyl throughout all the record shops around the country. So
wow.
You can pretty much go into any record store and just say Rhythm Method is distributing it. Can I just go and ask for the Nomad Infinite?
Cool.
You want to be quick though, because
I reckon it'll sell out pretty quickly.
They're going to go quick, eh?
Yeah.
I've got people wanting two or three copies off me at a time, and they'll personally numbered at the back as well.
One out
of 300, two out of 300 sort of thing. So, yeah.
Shit. Oh
and I'm leaving the country, so I'm just going to leave you guys to
it. Yeah. You guys fight amongst yourselves, basically. Yeah.
But I'll go, I'm looking forward to doing some little photo shoots in Thailand as well, you know, with some interesting
places. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
it's much appreciated. And, I mean, congratulations on, you know, having 25 years of work to celebrate like this. I mean,
yeah.
It's not something everyone gets to do in their lifetime. So, I mean,
yeah,
congratulations.
I'm feeling old. It was interesting because back in the day, I was you know, my sort of mid to late 20s when I was doing making music, and every year I'd have to release an album, and I was just like feeling, I got to my mid to late 20s and I was like, my God, I'm getting old, I gotta find a wife and have kids, and you know, I was freaking out and stuff. But and then you get into your 50s and you're like, oh, you know, you just, yeah, it's a complete different kettle of fish. I wish I still had the energy of making music when I was that young, because I just had so much, I was doing it non-stop. I didn't even own a television.
Well, so you must have like pumped out an absolute metric shit ton
of
work.
But heaps, eh? And touring and doing gigs every single weekend. And when I first was DJing, it was DJing 6 to 7 nights a week.
That's heaps.
At the Taipei in Dunedin. So that way you'd learn a lot of skills.
You get better and better,
doing it nonstop. And it was a good way to kind of take it to the next level.
Well, you know what? It has very much paid off. Once again, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it. Yeah, awesome.